Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
All right, let's go to the hotline. The North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Welcome in one of our good buddies of the show. Sam Monson joins us. Find him on Twitter at @PFF_Sam. We'll break down the quarterbacks. We'll break down the whole deal. Sam, how the hell are you?
Doing good. How about you?
Not doing too terribly bad. I'd be doing a hell of a lot better if the season were about to start right now, because 2 years ago, I was like, man, I want a nice long off season because I think we're about to grind this thing out. We've never seen a season like this. And the Browns went off to a 6-10 season, so I ended up being right. This year, I just think it's different. I think that this is going to be a different year where they can get back to the playoffs. There's expectations. I don't think that they'll falter this season because of who their leadership is and that their quarterback has matured. Would you agree with me on that, Sam?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a big holdover effect from the Browns being the Browns for so long and just consistently letting everybody down and never being good and always these false dawns and never amount to anything. But I do think that this current regime and this current period of growth and development is different. It's been a change. It's been a development and a, you know, if it was any other team, we would be talking about the Browns as one of the clear favorites in the NFL. But because it's the Browns, we know better. You know, we've been burned before, so we don't want to put it too far out there just in case. But I think if you look at this rationally and dispassionately, and you try and isolate what we know about this team from the past, I think you have to be excited by what they're building and by what they've already done, let alone where it can still go to.
So it's going to start and finish with Baker Mayfield. I understand that. What makes Baker, at the end of this season, what does he have to do to make sure he's the highest paid quarterback in football?
I mean, he just needs to continue where he left off last season. I think that's the big thing, that, you know, he's had a roller coaster of a career so far, set rookie records in his first year. The second season was a bit of a disaster, and we really didn't know where he was going to be. And then the start of last season was a mess as well with that Baltimore game. But as the season wore on, every time he had a question posed to him, I think he stepped up. And you know, when he was faced with a real defense or with a team that he'd struggled with the first time, he developed and he got better and he improved. And this is his first time in this offense and the first time this entire offense kind of got itself together with a COVID season and no preseason, all these kinds of things. So as long as Baker Mayfield doesn't go back in the tank or doesn't reverse course and completely undo the development and the growth we've seen from him, if he can keep going in that direction, I think he will be the best paid quarterback in the NFL, or certainly one of them, and will be one of the best quarterbacks. He'll be deserving of it.
See, this is what's incredible, because this is, I've seen a lot of quarterbacks where you go to their Pro Football Reference and it's like, wow, gosh, look at these stats. They jump off the page, and maybe their teams don't even have the type of record the Browns had last year at 11-5. Baker's, if you say he does what he does, or if he does exactly what he does this year, what he did last year, he'll end up being paid. That's true. I don't disagree with you on that. But when you look at the numbers, it's purely results-based. It's going to be, if this team goes to like an AFC championship game or even further, then this is going to secure him. I think this is a different type of conversation with Baker Mayfield than we've had with a lot of different quarterbacks out there, because you know the numbers, you know what they can do, but this guy, there's a lot of just, you got to get your team over the hump if you really want to make that much money.
Yeah, and they also, I think it's a sample size issue. You know, we've seen good from Baker, we've seen bad from Baker, and we've seen the middle as well. I think they want to see another year of the good. They want to just be sure. You know, we've seen recent evidence now of what happens if you go too soon and you think you have the quarterback and then it unravels around you. The Eagles with Carson Wentz, the Rams with Jared Goff, those guys thought they had the quarterback and they jumped on that big extension, you know, a year or two early. And then things went south, things went against them and unraveled. And I think that's what the Browns don't want to do with Baker Mayfield. They've learned the lesson from those other quarterbacks. And while, you know, other teams may have extended Baker already, they want to see it for another year and just be sure that everything is on the right track. And as soon as they are sure, I think they'll pull the trigger and give him that extension.
Sam Monson joining us from Pro Football Focus. You mentioned, last time we talked to you, you mentioned that he corrected some things that were terminal. You used the term terminal in 2019 to 2020. Can you tell us what those things were that are terminal mistakes that quarterbacks make?
Yeah, I've very, very rarely seen a quarterback pull himself out of the kind of tailspin that Baker Mayfield was in terms of how he was behaving in the pocket and sort of the idea of when you start to feel phantom pressure, you know, pressure that isn't really there, even if it's for a good reason, you know, even if it's because the offensive line was bad enough that you started to feel that. The second the quarterback starts to behave like that, he doesn't turn it around. He doesn't come back out of the other side of that. You know, you think of guys like David Carr back in the day who just got buried by the amount of pressure coming from that Houston offensive line. Mark Bulger was another player who I was comping to Mac Jones a lot this draft period, which is the only reason he's in my mind. But Mark Bulger was good enough that the Rams moved on from Kurt Warner. You know, back when Kurt Warner was a fairy tale story, had won them Super Bowl, had been MVP, the Rams got rid of Kurt Warner because Mark Bulger was playing so well. And Bulger, that happened to Bulger. He got broken by that offensive line. He started to feel that phantom pressure, and it was game over. Baker Mayfield started to go down that road and last season pulled himself out of it. And that's, I think, a huge reason to be optimistic, because quarterbacks don't do that. Quarterbacks don't come out of the other end of that kind of problematic behavior when it comes to feeling pressure in the pocket, bailing from what should be clean pockets and causing some of your own problems. When quarterbacks do that, it's a really bad thing for the offense, and it's not something they typically fix. But over the course of the year, he did. He got notably better at it just as the season wore on.
Sam Monson with us. Quick right turn. What do you think of Mac Jones? Do you think he'll be successful?
I think he can be. I really like what he's able to do within the pocket. And, you know, it's going to be a transition going from Alabama to New England's offense and learning a new system and all that kind of stuff. But he was, I think, the best quarterback in the draft at just executing the offense really, really well. He was able to work through his reads, understand where he should go with the ball, put the ball where he's supposed to put it every single play. The guy just was never rattled, was never put in a position where he was in trouble. And that was a good thing, because when he is in those positions, he isn't great. So, you know, I think if he stays the same, if he's able to process and work within an NFL offense, a New England's offense at the same kind of high level, I think he can be a very good quarterback, even if he isn't good on the run or when he has to make things happen outside of structure. But if it's a bigger leap than that, if the New England offense is, you know, a much tougher adjustment, then he just doesn't have those other trump cards that some of these other quarterbacks have.
Out of that quarterback class that came out just this year, who are you most concerned with?
I'm in a weird spot because I kind of liked all five of those first round guys. A lot of people had one or two that they really didn't like and didn't think would work out. I think all five have a really good shot to be good starting quarterbacks. Justin Fields, there's some elements to his game that scare me a little bit, and I understand why he slipped a little bit. But ultimately, you know, they were there in college, and he had three straight seasons of PFF grades above 90. So I'm not tremendously concerned that it's suddenly going to be a massive problem at the NFL level.
Okay, because I love Justin Fields, and I'm not even an Ohio State fan, Sam. So I'm like, all right, I've put my name out there. Lima's on vacation, or he'd be talking to you too. I put my name out there, and I'm like, I really want him to pan out. I'm really rooting for the Bears because, you know, you always want to be right about this thing. What about Zach Wilson? And why? What was behind Zach Wilson's meteoric rise? Before I get back to business on some of the other stuff, what was behind that? Because I was concerned when people were talking about chaos, like they were trying to recreate a Patrick Mahomes, and I feel that there's only one Patrick Mahomes, and if you keep going out and trying to recreate that guy, you're going to end up in serious trouble.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a risk, but I think Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, these quarterbacks recently have, I think, emboldened teams to chase that style of quarterback a little bit more, or not, maybe not chase them, but to be less concerned by that trait or that style as a worry, a thing that would turn you off a prospect the way it would before those guys came along and make it work at the NFL level. So Zach Wilson, you know, spectacular arm, incredible season at BYU this year. That the only real questions or red marks are, you know, one, strength of competition, and two, sample size. He just didn't do it for very long. And, you know, the strength of competition thing is the offensive line was so good, didn't face a bunch of good defenses. So we never really saw him under a lot of pressure. And that's one of those things you do want to see from a player. But I think the thing that offset that is he has that Mahomes tendency to kind of make some of his own trouble and play his way out of it. And I think, you know, teams are able to project what Zach Wilson will do under pressure by sort of seeing how he does some of that stuff and be comfortable with it, you know, with it being a skill set that he has. So I think it was justified. It's just, it's a little bit risky anytime you're talking about a guy with that small a sample size and those kinds of strength of opposition concerns.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. Julio's in Tennessee. How does the AFC now shape up?
Well, I think it propels Tennessee back into the conversation. I think Julio offsets the losses that they had this offseason with Jonnu Smith, the tight end, going to New England, and with Corey Davis, their second wide receiver, going to the Jets. They hadn't really done anything to plug those losses, and those were big losses. I know that the offense still functions through that trio of A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill, but those are important pieces to take out of that offense and expect nothing to drop off. So Julio Jones offsets all of that and then some. You know, he now gives you two legitimate number one wide receivers, assuming he stays healthy. And that makes that offense incredibly difficult to defend because you can't load the box because of Derrick Henry and those guys will kill you on the outside. You can't give them a light box and run with these massive two high shells because Derrick Henry will run riot. So it's a team now that whose offense is extremely difficult to deal with.
How soon should Browns fans expect their defense to gel?
That's a good question because you love the moves that they've made on paper. They've done an awful lot of things that should work, but we know that just a huge number of moves often takes a while to come into sync. And the big one I think to be a little bit concerned about is how Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah will play right out of the gate, because it's a really tough position now, linebacker, to transition to the NFL level at. It's just those guys have been put in a bind by the way that offenses have developed now. And, you know, linebacker used to be one of the easiest positions in the league to come in and play well as a rookie. Now those guys are struggling when they're 5-10 year veterans. So Owusu-Koramoah has just this phenomenal skill set, should be a perfect coverage linebacker down the road. I just don't know that's going to happen year one.
I know this isn't necessarily what you do, but I want a prediction. What's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? Where will he play this year?
Denver makes too much sense for me. I mean, they're the team that desperately needs a quarterback and have done all the way through the offseason. I don't see Rodgers patching this thing back together with the Packers. So I think he is out of there. The only question is, are they going to get rid of him and trade him to someone like Denver or force him into retirement? Say, no, we're not letting you play anywhere else. You're either playing for the Green Bay Packers or you're hosting Jeopardy.
If you're a Browns fan, obviously you don't want him in the AFC. If he has to go somewhere, are you hoping it's Denver instead of maybe Miami could come kick the tires? And the Raiders always seem to be flirting.
Yeah, the Raiders would be an interesting one. Miami I don't see just because they don't seem to have ever been interested in quarterbacks this offseason, and they've had opportunities to get into that market a bit and haven't. They seem to be buying into Tua come what may. Yeah, Denver, I just think that's a team that's a Super Bowl caliber roster waiting for a high-level quarterback to step in and take the reins, and they don't have one yet. I would love to see Rodgers go to Denver, and also you make that happen and you have Rodgers and Mahomes twice a year in the same division, that would be some pretty impressive fireworks.
Make sure you follow him on Twitter. He's a good man and thorough. Sam Monson at PFF underscore Sam on Twitter. Sam, thanks for the time, buddy. All the best.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
You too. Sam Monson on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, we got people in there. We'll get to you guys. 216-578-0092. And I tell you this for your own good, Buckeye fan. This is a good thing. It's Ken Carmen without Anthony Lima live in the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.